Welcome back to biology class. Last week, we talked about hormones, your body's chemical messengers that travel through your bloodstream, controlling things like hunger, mood, growth, and energy. Think of them as long-distance delivery drivers. This week, we are zooming in, weigh in, to meet their speedy, brain-based cousins called neurotransmitters. If hormones are snail mail, neurotransmitters are instant text messages. They don't wait 3 to 5 business days to deliver your mood. Welcome back to The Upgrade Effect, the podcast for health nuts, and we are amidst season 2, back to biology class, where I give you guys the basic rundown on all the major areas of your body. And so far, we have covered quite a few things, from cells to DNA to hormones to now neurotransmitters. And this episode is going to be quite interesting. So let's start upgrading. So what even are neurotransmitters? Well, your brain is made up of about 86 billion neurons, which are tiny cells in your brain that act like electrical wires. But neurons never actually touch each other. That's the thing. Between each neuron is a tiny space, and that space is called a synapse. And it is like the world's smallest social distancing circle. When one neuron wants to talk to another, it sends an electrical signal down its tail called an axon until it reaches the end, where it releases a chemical messenger, or a neurotransmitter, into the synapse. The next neuron on the other side catches it with its receptors, like a game of biochemical catch. Boom, the message is passed along from one neuron to the next. This happens millions of times per second. Every thought, feeling, memory, and movement depends on this chemical gossip chain. Fun fact, your brain has more possible neural connections than there are stars in the Milky Way. Basically, your mind is busier than a Starbucks on a Monday morning. Okay, so let's just quickly differentiate once more the difference between hormones and neurotransmitters, okay? Hormones and neurotransmitters are both chemical messengers, but they just deliver differently. Hormones are like your long-distance delivery drivers that travel through the bloodstream. They're slower, but they're longer-lasting. Neurotransmitters are like lightning-fast messages that travel across these synapses in your brain in tiny spaces, but they're precise and they're immediate. Sometimes these two things overlap. For example, norepinephrine is a hormone that also functions as a neurotransmitter, but biology is messy. Just like the English language, there's always some odd exceptions. Okay, so now we're going to meet the brain's chemical squad. And the first one I'm sure you've all heard of is named dopamine. This is your reward chemical. Dopamine gives you that, yes, this feels good, let's do it again sort of feeling. It gives you motivation, it gives you focus. But here's the key. There's real dopamine versus quick hit dopamine. Quick hit dopamine comes from scrolling social media, likes, junk food, sugar. It's fast, it's easy, and it's fleeting. Every notification or swipe gives your brain a tiny reward signal. That's why we keep scrolling, but your brain quickly adapts, meaning you need more and more stimulation to get that dopamine again, to feel good. This is why endless scrolling leaves you feeling kind of restless, bored, or just unfulfilled. Real dopamine comes from effort and accomplishment. Finishing a project, for example, exercising, learning a new skill, it builds sustainable motivation and a long-term form of satisfaction. Okay? So to care for your dopamine, just do things that give meaningful progress. Dopamine loves anticipation and achievement. So exercise regularly. It boosts receptor sensitivity so that you always feel reward naturally. Limit mindless scrolling and junk food. This will really save your dopamine for real wins if you limit that. Okay, so just a notable study, a 2022 Journal of Neuroscience study found that consistent exercise increased dopamine receptor sensitivity, meaning your brain actually gets more reward from everyday life. Way more than just, you know, screen time. Okay, so your phone gives dopamine hits, but they're cheap rewards. Real dopamine comes from progress, not scrolling. Number two, you've probably heard of this one too. Serotonin. This is your mood stabilizer. Serotonin actually helps you feel calm and balanced. About 90% of your serotonin is actually made in your gut, which means your digestion directly affects your mood. So if you have too little serotonin, this will cause anxiety, sadness, sleep issues. So to care for this, morning sunlight, getting out in what's called first light, boosts your serotonin naturally, especially if you're taking deep breaths and you are grounding your feet in the grass at the same time. I know it seems uncomfortable, but the aggressive pursuit of comfort, in the words of human biologist Gary Brecka, the aggressive pursuit of comfort is the acceleration of you aging. So things that are a little uncomfortable, like maybe putting your feet in grass and standing in first light early in the morning instead of scrolling right away, might feel uncomfortable, but these give long-lasting, real serotonin hits to your body and are just so good for everything. Okay, even gratitude and journaling can increase serotonin activity. Okay, so your gut is making most of your happiness chemical, literally. The next one is called GABA. This is your chill pill. GABA calms your brain, quieting overactive neurons in your brain. Too little of it can cause anxiety, tension, and insomnia. So to care for this, you want to do deep breathing exercises. Anything that requires you to slow down, prayer, meditation, gratitude, eating magnesium-rich foods actually support GABA function, okay? And avoid excessive caffeine. It blocks GABA's calming effects. So when you drink coffee, you're not actually getting this energy. What's happening is your GABA's actually being blocked. So that GABA puts you in that mood to sleep. So if you're blocking it, that's why coffee can keep you awake. Okay, just so you know, because I drink a lot of coffee and I got to keep that in mind sometimes. And again, coffee, not bad. In fact, I was just listening to an amazing podcast the other day, Dr. Josh Axe, about coffee. And he had noted that some people function very well with coffee, doesn't affect their sleep. And in this case, as long as you're drinking a high quality organic coffee that's not sprayed with pesticides, coffee can function as an antioxidant in your body. But if you're that kind of person that struggles and cannot have any coffee past 9 a.m. or it will affect your sleep, or, you know, just if it makes you feel jittery, anxious, then you have the type of body that doesn't function well with coffee, and coffee will not act so much as an antioxidant in your body. So different strokes for different folks. Everything affects everybody differently. So there's so much out there about coffee. There's just so much information. Some of it's fake, some of it's real, but it depends on A, if you're drinking high quality coffee, if it's good for you, and B, how your body receives the coffee, how it works with the coffee, how different your body is. So that's what it depends on. For me, coffee doesn't affect me. It makes me very alert, very motivated. It never affects my sleep. It might have once before, but I can drink coffee at 7:30 at night and it just will not affect my sleep. So for me, coffee, I believe, functions as an antioxidant because I feel great drinking it, but it's not the same for everybody. Okay. And then the next after GABA, we have glutamate. This is the go, go, go signal. Glutamate excites your neurons. It helps you learn and remember. Okay. So too much glutamate will cause overstimulation, anxiety, or brain fog. So to care for your glutamate neurotransmitter, you want to prioritize your sleep, you want to reduce chronic stress, and you want to practice mindfulness just to turn down the volume, take deep breaths, turn off your phone, say a prayer, meditate. Peace is good. Glutamate is your friend when you want peace. Okay, the next is called endorphins. These are like nature's painkillers. They are released during exercise, during laughter, or eating spicy food. Endorphins block pain and boost pleasure. So to care for them, you want to move daily. You want to laugh often. And you want to enjoy some dark chocolate every now and then. Dark chocolate is a superfood, obviously providing you're not eating an entire bar of it. But if you're just having a couple pieces, my goodness, it is a superfood. It is only man-made chemicals that have destroyed what original chocolate actually is, which comes from a cocoa plant, super powerful antioxidant. You know, the man-made chemicals and factories and all of this craziness that has been allowed into your food in recent years that have caused natural foods like the cocoa bean and the cocoa plant to turn into what we now call junk food. Another neurotransmitter I want to discuss is oxytocin. This is the love and the trust chemical. Oxytocin fuels connection, bonding, and trust, especially when we're talking about relationships with other people. So hugging someone for 20 plus seconds actually boosts your oxytocin. Acting kindly towards others, making eye contact and connecting in person, as opposed to just texting or meeting up on Zoom in person, all of this boosts your oxytocin. Okay, that feeling where you're in love, if you've ever felt that before, that is, your oxytocin is going absolutely insane during a period in your life where you may have been falling in love before. It's just wild. These are all neurotransmitters, all of these feelings that we feel. Okay, so now that we've discussed the major players in terms of neurotransmitters, there's many more, but I just want to discuss like the main ones that we've all heard of. The next segment, we're going to go into when neurotransmitters go rogue. And rogue means when they go a little bit uncontrolled, wild, or start behaving differently. Balanced neurotransmitters equals focus, calm, and motivation. If you're feeling focused, calm, and motivated a lot, that means your neurotransmitters are probably very well balanced. If you are always feeling anxious, burnt out, brain fog, hard to focus, don't have motivation, can't be calm, a little bit antsy, a little bit manic, there's a very good chance that your neurotransmitters are requiring some balancing and some care. Okay? So mindfulness practices actually increases your GABA and your dopamine, showing that you can naturally support this chemistry. So quick brain fixes. So the best things that we could possibly do to make sure all of our neurotransmitters are acting and behaving normally, these are the top five tips. Number one is we want to sleep consistently. Sleeping is the best way to care for your brain. Number one, your brain doesn't actually rewire until you're sleeping, during sleep. So if you learn a new and challenging task, that brain, our brain doesn't actually rewire until we're sleeping. So sleep is absolutely crucial to accomplishing your goals. Okay, you want to eat whole nutrient-rich foods. That's number two. You want to move your body daily. You want to get sunlight. And you want to manage stress and digital overload. Okay? So if you guys can focus on just these five things, your brain will function optimally. Your neurotransmitters will function optimally. Okay? So your brain chemistry is a chaotic but brilliant orchestra. Dopamine drives, serotonin soothes, GABA calms, glutamate excites. Next time your mood dips or motivation tanks, remember, actually not you. It's your neurotransmitters, which yes, is a part of you. But now you know exactly how to help them behave. Okay, guys, thank you for listening to The Upgrade Effect. Don't forget to drop a like and a subscribe to help us spread wellness. Thank you for listening, and class dismissed.